For many years, the history of India was written through a Western colonized way of thinking, which shaped how events were explained and understood, and also affected how we think about our country today. This also meant many stories felt incomplete. Today, we celebrate the chance to share our history in our own words. Are you aware of our Yuva program? If you're between 6 and 18 years old, Yuva is designed for you. Our goal is to make history fun for you. Every 3 months with this e-magazine, we let you peek into history. We will explore exciting hidden parts of India and learn about lesser-known brave heroes and leaders who helped build our nation. Get ready to learn and enjoy yourself. We are the Foundation for Indian Historical and Cultural Research, FIHCR. We help discover and appreciate our country's rich history, fascinating traditions, and awesome leaders. Now, let us hear from our founder director, Dr. Vikram Sampath.
FIHCR was created with a simple purpose: to encourage India to discover its own narrative with sincerity and rigor. Our children deserve stories that breathe with life, stories that speak of imagination, courage, scholarship, and heritage. When young minds engage with history through inquiry and wonder, they shape a future rooted in strength and clarity. Yuva celebrates that very spirit. It gives students the chance to explore unfamiliar paths, ask fearless questions, and discover their own relationship with the past. This work carries immense joy because history is never static. There is always something new to discover. Thank you, everyone, for being part of this journey of learning and rediscovery.
Greetings, fellow explorers. I am Kavi, the sharp-eyed crow who has watched India's story unfold from the skies for centuries. And let me tell you something, some of the bravest people I have seen in all my years of flying across India were women. Queens, warriors, revolutionaries, and even grandmothers. When the country called, they answered. In this edition, we are flying across India to meet some extraordinary women who challenged British rule. Our journey is packed with stories of courage, clever strategies, and fearless resistance. We will fly across battlefields, peek into letters and diaries, tune into a live report, and I will be hosting a special talk show. You can also try your hand at exciting activities, riddles, and challenges to test what you learn along the way. Finally, the Teacher's Corner will take us to Shivaganga to explore the story of Queen Velu Nachiyar and her fearless commander, Kuili. Discover this lesser-known freedom fighter whose courage often remains hidden in the pages of history. So spread your wings, fellow explorers. We have stories to uncover, heroes to meet, and a whole lot of history waiting for us. Keep your eyes sharp, your curiosity ready, and see how much you discover along the way.
Let us begin our journey with a royal letter from 1824. I was flying over Kittur, Karnataka, when a very special letter caught my eye. And guess who wrote it? Rani Chennamma herself. I tucked it safely under my wing and flew across time to bring it straight to you. Well, what are you waiting for? Open the letter and read Rani Chennamma's story in her own words.
My brave young friends, I wonder how many years will pass before this letter finds its way to you. Perhaps the Kittur of your time will look very different from the one I lived in. You may already know my name. Let me share how my journey began. Long before I became the Rani of Kittur, I was an ordinary girl, born in the village of Kakati. As a young girl, I learned to ride horses, shoot arrows, and wield a sword. Little did I know that one day these very skills would help me defend my kingdom. One day, while I was out hunting, Raja Mallar Sej witnessed my courage. We were soon married and I took my place as the Rani of Kittur. As a queen, I became deeply involved in the affairs of the kingdom, listening to the concerns of my people and learning how to protect the land we all loved. These experiences prepared me for the difficult years that followed. After my husband passed away, Kittur faced challenging times. As there was no natural heir to the throne, I adopted a young boy named Shivalingappa to continue the royal line. But the British officials refused to accept our right to choose an heir and tried to seize Kittur. What would you do if someone tried to take away your home? Would you remain silent? I could not.
In 1824, Kittur stood against the British forces. My soldiers and people fought bravely and we won the first battle. For a brief moment, our fort glowed with lamps and echoed with the sounds of victory. Once again, the British returned with a much larger army, and the people of Kittur fought with all their courage. This time, however, our fort was captured. I was taken as a prisoner to Bel Hongal Fort. Prison walls could hold me, but they could not imprison the spirit of Kittur. Others continued the resistance and the hope of freedom lived on. Perhaps that is why my story has found its way to you. You may never have to defend a fort, but there will be moments when you must decide whether to remain silent or to stand up for what is right. When that moment comes, I hope Kittur's spirit and resilience inspire you to take action with courage. Kittur Rani Chennamma.
What a brave queen she was! Rani Chennamma's letter has travelled nearly 200 years to reach you. Now imagine if you could send a reply back to Kittur in 1824. What would you write to her? Get a pen and a paper and start writing. Ask your teacher to help you finish it. You can sign your name at the end and I will carry it for you. Fly back through time and make sure it reaches her.
Let us now meet the lioness of Punjab who roared against the British. Imagine a kingdom under threat and a young Maharaja on the throne. The British are closing in. At the heart of it all stands Rani Jind Kaur, Queen Regent of the Sikh Empire, who refuses to be silenced. Let us listen to her story.
The Sikh Empire is in danger after Maharaja Ranjit Singh's death at the Lahore Palace in the 1840s.
Who will protect Punjab now?
I will.
Rani Jind Kaur became regent for her young son, Daleep Singh. However, the British saw her as an obstacle.
Punjab will soon belong to us.
Not while I stand here.
As the Iron Lady of Punjab, Rani Jind resisted the British with courage. She mobilized the Khalsa army to defend Punjab's freedom.
Punjab must remain free!
Long live the Rani!
The British were intimidated by her diplomacy and influence over the people. They called her the Rebel Queen of Punjab.
Separate her from the prince.
She is too powerful.
Determined to crush Punjab's resistance, the British imprisoned her at the Sheikhpura Fort in 1847.
By British orders, the Queen is under arrest.
In 1849, she was shifted to the high-security Chunar Fort near Varanasi, where she remained captive till April 1849.
They may imprison me, but not Punjab's spirit.
Disguised as a servant, she escaped British imprisonment, proving that neither chains nor walls could break her spirit. The villagers secretly helped her travel hundreds of miles towards Nepal, where she spent 13 years of her life in exile.
Quick, Maharani, this way.
Even in exile, the British continued to see her as a threat because she was determined to restore her son, Maharaja Daleep Singh, and resist British control over Punjab. She remained separated from her son for more than a decade until they were finally reunited in 1861. Today, she is remembered as the fearless lioness of Punjab.
What a great lady! A regent may not wear the crown, but they still carry the responsibility that comes with it. Your kingdom is facing a difficult situation, and everyone is waiting for your decision. What would you choose? 1. Stay silent and avoid conflict. 2. Leave the kingdom in someone else's hands. 3. Step forward, lead, and protect your kingdom. Why did you make this choice?
The year is 1857, and I am flying over the skies of Lucknow. That giant peepal tree at Sikandar Bagh in Lucknow, Uttar Pradesh, looks like the perfect place to rest. Wait, what is happening down there? I hear gunshots. British soldiers are firing at Indian revolutionaries. Hold on, did something just move in these branches? Is there someone climbing this tree with a sniper? Looks like it is a soldier. But wait, is that a woman? Could it be Uda Devi Pasi, the fearless Virangana whose bravery everyone in Lucknow has been talking about? Oh, look how silently she's settling among the leaves, dressed as a man, her sniper steady and ready. She takes aim and... bang! One British soldier falls, then another, and another. Oh my feathers, she's unstoppable.
Where is it coming from? Find that sniper. Search the trees.
Around 30 soldiers have been brought down, and none of them thinks to look up at this very tree. The British are scrambling around, searching for the mysterious sniper. They look everywhere, but not here.
Oh no! They have finally spotted her! They are firing at her! Uda Devi is shot!
The British rush towards her in triumph, only to freeze in shock.
It's a woman!
As they remove her helmet, they are stunned to discover that the mysterious sniper who outsmarted them was not a man at all, but the brave Uda Devi. What a warrior! She proved that courage isn't measured by gender, but by the strength to stand for what is right, even against impossible odds.
Times of colonial India. Live from Kheri, the Queen of Ramgarh strikes back.
This is Kavi reporting live from the battlefield of Kheri in Madhya Pradesh. I am perched safely on a tall banyan tree, and what a sight I can see. Leading a troop of brave warriors is Rani Avantibai Lodhi. She seems fearless and determined, standing up to the massive forces of the East India Company. Wait, something incredible is happening. The Queen is riding through her army, calling on everyone to fight for their motherland. And now the battle has begun. The British soldiers expected an easy victory. Oh, how wrong they are. Rani Avantibai's army is fighting with courage and clever strategy. Launching a surprise attack, they have pushed the British back. The British forces are retreating. Yes, you heard that right. The Battle of Kheri has become a remarkable victory for the Queen and her brave warriors. Cheers are rising across the battlefield as the people celebrate this victory. The British are retreating and Kheri is roaring with victory.
Think you followed Kavi's report closely? Let us find out. 1. Where is Kavi reporting from? 2. How many warriors is Rani Avantibai leading? 3. Which strategy helped Rani Avantibai's army push the British forces back?
Did you know that the national flag of India, which we proudly wave today, wasn't always the same? One of the first versions of India's flag was unfurled by the brave freedom fighter Bhikaji Kama at the Second International Socialist Congress, an event held in Stuttgart, Germany on August 22, 1907. Imagine reading a journal entry by Madam Kama about the historic moment when she proudly unfurled India's flag on foreign soil.
Dear Diary, today I raised a flag that carried India's dream. It will forever remain one of the most memorable days of my life. Before delegates from many nations, I had the honor of unfurling the flag of my beloved India. Holding that flag in my hands, I felt the immense responsibility of representing millions of my countrymen who continue to suffer under British rule. This morning, as I looked out at the peaceful streets of Stuttgart, my thoughts traveled to my distant homeland. I remembered the bustling streets of Bombay, the hard-working farmers, the mothers praying for their children's safety, and the countless people silently enduring injustice. Though I was far away, my heart belonged entirely to India. Before leaving for the conference, I looked once more at the flag. To many, it might have appeared to be nothing more than a piece of cloth, but to me, it represented the hopes, sacrifices, and dreams of millions who longed for freedom. I prayed that I would have the courage to fulfill my duty with honor. The conference hall soon filled with delegates from different countries. I realized that while many admired India's rich civilization, only a few understood the hardships faced by her people under British rule. When I stepped onto the stage, I spoke about India's glorious past and her painful present. Then came the proudest moment of my life. With great reverence, I unfurled the flag of India before the gathering and declared, "This is the flag of India's independence. I appeal to all of you to honor it by standing up." For a brief moment, silence filled the hall. Then, one by one, the delegates rose to their feet and the hall echoed with applause. "I know greater hardships may lie ahead, but I have no fear. Even if I do not live to see India free, I firmly believe that future generations will continue this struggle. Until then, I shall devote every breath of my life to the service of my beloved motherland."
Every freedom fighter is remembered for something special she carried, used, or is associated with. Can you think of symbols or objects that are associated with these queens? Rani Chennamma, Uda Devi, Bhikaji Kama, and Rani Jind Kaur? Now we will travel from 1907 to 1932 to meet the 21-year-old revolutionary who led an attack on British power.
In 1932, the British still controlled India. In Chittagong, present-day Bangladesh, a young woman named Pritilata Wadyadar was getting ready for a mission that would make her one of the bravest revolutionaries in India's fight for freedom. Pritilata grew up in a middle-class family and was an excellent student. She later became a school teacher. However, she could not overlook the humiliation and oppression suffered by Indians under British rule. Determined to fight for her country's freedom, she joined the revolutionary group led by the well-known freedom fighter Surya Sen, known as Master Da. Another young revolutionary in the group was Kalpana Datta. She worked closely with Surya Sen and helped plan various revolutionary activities. Kalpana was supposed to take part in the attack on the Pahartali European Club.
Unfortunately, she was arrested by the British before the operation and could not participate. Despite this setback, the plans she contributed to were crucial for the mission. The target was the Pahartali European Club, near Chittagong. The club became a symbol of British racial discrimination due to a sign that reportedly read, "Dogs and Indians not allowed." For many Indians, the club represented the arrogance and unfairness of colonial rule. On the night of 23rd September 1932, Prithilata led a group of armed revolutionaries towards the club. Disguised in male clothing to avoid suspicion, she skillfully directed the operation. As European officials and their families gathered inside, the revolutionaries surrounded the building and launched their attack using firearms and explosives. Panic spread through the club as gunshots rang out and windows shattered. Several people inside were injured as the revolutionaries struck what they viewed as a symbol of British oppression. As the group began to pull back, British forces responded. During the exchange of fire, Prithilata was seriously wounded by a bullet. She knew that if captured, she would face severe torture and questioning that could endanger her comrades and the revolutionary movement. Prepared for such a situation, she carried a vial of cyanide. Refusing to surrender to the British, Prithilata took the poison and died shortly after. She was only 21 years old. Though the attack did not bring an end to British rule, it became a strong symbol of resistance. Prithilata Vadedar's bravery inspired many young Indians, especially women, to join the struggle for independence. Alongside revolutionaries like Kalpana Datta, she showed that the fight for freedom was not limited by age or gender. Today, she is remembered as one of the most fearless heroes of India's freedom movement.
Have you ever come across a resume of a freedom fighter? Let us listen to Rani Gaidin Liu read her resume.
Hello, I am Rani Gaidin Liu. If life were a video game, the toughest quest for me would have unlocked at level 16. The mission? Protect my people, preserve our traditions, and stand up to one of the world's largest empires. There were no cheat codes, no pause button, and no extra lives. Only courage, quick thinking, and teamwork. Every challenge taught me that great leaders don't wait until they're older. They step forward when others need them most. What was my alma mater? I studied in the great outdoors of Longkou village in Manipur. There were no classrooms, homework or report cards. My teachers were my elders, my community, the forests and the challenges of the world I was born into. I learnt by listening, observing, practicing and helping others every day. My experience, you ask? I led the Heraka movement from 1931 to 1932. I took over leadership at just 16 years old after the death of my mentor, Haipu Jadonang, who initiated the Zeliang Rong movement in my community. I brought villages together to work towards the preservation of indigenous traditions and resist colonial interference. I encouraged people to protect their culture and traditions and inspired others to be brave even during difficult times. As a freedom fighter, I led resistance against British colonial rule. I solved problems under pressure and never gave up even after being arrested. I spent 14 years in prison but stayed committed to helping my people. I was imprisoned in 1932 for nearly 15 years. Yet, I continued inspiring resistance through resilience and commitment to the cause. I emerged as a respected national figure after India's independence. After India gained independence in 1947, I became a community leader and cultural advocate and worked for the welfare and development of tribal communities. I promoted preservation of indigenous customs and traditions. I further encouraged education, peace, and social harmony, and continued advocating for the Heraka faith and Zeliang Rong cultural identity.
I was honored with the Tamrapatra in 1972 and Padma Bhushan in 1982. I also received the Vivekananda Seva Award in 1983 and the Stri Shakti Puraskar in 1991. Even after my passing, my contributions continued to be remembered, and I was posthumously honored with the Bhagwan Birsa Munda Puraskar in 1996.
Can you find out who conferred the awards received by Rani Gaidin Liu? You have viewed Rani Gaidin Liu's profile. Which skill would you endorse her for? Leadership, courage, resilience, community. Choose one and think of one example from her story that supports your answer. What's up, fellow explorers? Welcome to my talk show, Rebellion Against the Raj. Today, we are coming to you straight from colonial Bengal, and our guest is someone who proved that bravery doesn't have an age limit. Please welcome the legendary Matangini Hazra.
Namaskar, Kavi. It is wonderful to see the people of a free India.
Namaste, Matangini ji. Or should I call you Gandhi Buri? Where did your awesome nickname come from?
You can call me Gandhi Buri. The people of my village gave me that name because I followed Mahatma Gandhi's path. When he called for the non-cooperation movement, I participated by spinning my own khadi cloth on the charkha.
Oh, I see. You were 73 years old during the Quit India movement in 1942. Most people at that age just want to live peacefully. What made you lead a massive protest march of 6,000 people to take over the local police station?
Kavi, when you have no freedom, you don't feel old. Instead, you feel angry. The British government crushed our spirits completely by exploiting us. On September 29th, 1942, we marched to take back our town. The crowd was huge, mostly women and young students.
But the police were armed, right? Didn't you want to run away?
Never. The crowd hesitated, and I knew they needed me. Someone had to show courage. I stepped forward, lifted the Indian tricolor flag high above my head, and kept walking.
And what happened next?
What do you think? The police fired. A bullet hit straight on my right hand. My arm went numb, so I swapped the flag to my left hand and kept marching forward, shouting, Vande Mataram.
Even after getting shot?
They shot me a second time in the left arm. I still did not drop it. I thought, if this flag touches the ground, it means the British won. I held the flag tight against my chest with whatever strength I had left. A third bullet hit my forehead. As I fell to the ground, my final breath was just those two words, Vande Mataram. But the flag stayed upright until the very end.
You will always be remembered for your bravery and sacrifice. Jai Hind, Vande Mataram. Can you find out what Buri means in Bengali? It is time we meet the brave girl of Gopur.
Kanaklata Barua was a 17-year-old freedom fighter from Assam. During the Quit India movement in 1942, she led a procession carrying the Indian flag towards the Gohpur police station. When British police opened fire, she was martyred while proudly holding the tricolour, becoming a symbol of courage and patriotism. Let us now hear a poem honouring her legacy.
Kanaklata woke at the break of day, tied her hair and ran away. Not to laugh and not to play, but to drive the British far away. She held the tricolor shining bright, like a rainbow full of light. People marched and drums were loud. Voices echoed all through Gopur. Do or die, the brave hearts cried, and little Kanaklata walked with pride. The soldiers warned,
go back, don't dare.
But freedom danced in the air. She smiled and said,
this flag will fly, even if today I die.
Then came a gunshot, loud and fast. But Kanaklata stood till last. She fell, but still held the flag up high, touching the clouds in the sky. And even now, the winds still say, brave Kanaklata leads the way.
Let me test what you have learned so far. In this game, you will get three clues about a freedom fighter. You have to listen to the clues carefully and guess who the freedom fighter is.
I was a teacher, young and bright. At 21, I joined a fight. I led a mission one dark night against a club that denied our right. Who am I?
Now the second riddle.
From forest hills I rose with pride. Against an empire I would not hide. Though young in age, my spirit was free. A Rani without royalty. Who am I?
The third riddle is,
a queen, but I did not just sit on a throne. I traveled village to village, never alone. I gathered my people to fight for their own. Who am I?
Now the last riddle.
They called me Grandma, dressed in simple white. I switched hands when bullets took my right. I fell, still holding the flag up tight. Who am I?
As promised, let us finally travel to Shivaganga to hear the story of the brave queen Velu Nachiyar and her fearless commander Queeli.
When students are taught about resistance to colonial rule, they often focus on famous leaders and battles. Yet history is rarely shaped by one person alone. Behind every well-known leader, there are others whose efforts cannot be overlooked, even if their names are not widely remembered today. An interesting story comes from 18th century Tamil Nadu. Velu Nachiyar, the queen of Shivaganga, lost her kingdom when it was captured by forces working with the British East India Company. Instead of giving up, she spent many years building alliances and preparing to win back her land. Throughout these years of struggle, one of her closest supporters was Queeli, a trusted commander known for her courage and loyalty. According to widely told accounts, Queeli carried out a daring mission that destroyed a British ammunition depot, weakening enemy forces and helping Velu Nachiyar's army gain a crucial advantage. Thanks to the efforts of loyal supporters such as Queeli, Velu Nachiyar eventually regained her kingdom, becoming one of the earliest Indian rulers to challenge the East India Company successfully. Stories like these continue to remind us that history is not just about kings, queens, battles, and dates. It is also about the countless people whose bravery, hard work, and sacrifices often get neglected. To help students connect this idea to their own lives, try a hidden hero project in the classroom. Ask your students to think about someone in their school, neighborhood, or family whose work helps others but often goes unnoticed. It could be a grandparent, a sanitation worker, a bus driver, a librarian, a caretaker, or anyone whose contribution makes a difference in their lives. They can briefly explain, who is this person? How do they help others? Why is their contribution important? encouraged the class to reflect on a broader question. How many important people in history might have been forgotten simply because their stories were never recorded? By connecting Quilly's story with the hidden heroes around them, students can understand that history is shaped not only by famous figures, but also by the many individuals whose efforts often go unnoticed, but have a lasting impact on the world around us. Book Review, Mega Cool Leaders by Pradeep Chakravarti by Rupa Baliga, House Full of Books. Mega Cool Leaders, Five Rulers Who Rocked India by Pradeep Chakravarti and illustrated by Megha Vishwanath. Published by Blue One Inc. in collaboration with FIHCR, Foundation for Indian Historical and Cultural Research, YUVA. An insightful book that talks about five inspiring people from India's rich past and how they helped to shape it with their extraordinary contributions. This captivating collection has the stories of five visionaries from different parts of India. It provides a journey through time and uncovers the incredible lives of these leaders who played a pivotal role in shaping India's history. From Lalita Ditya Muktapeda, who envisioned the dream of a united and prosperous Bharat while bringing about unprecedented glory to Kashmir, thereby putting it on the map, to Krishnadevaraya, whose rule made Vijayanagar a strong cultural and political powerhouse in South India and left behind a lasting legacy. Lachit Borphukan, whose defense of Assam from the Mughals is the stuff of legends, to Chhatrapati Shivaji, whose revolutionary path led to the establishment of Hindavi Swarajya, Ahilya Bai Holkar, whose compassionate leadership led to Indore transforming into a thriving kingdom. The book not only explores how these rulers made their mark in history through their military triumphs, but also reveals their wisdom, struggles, and dedication. Their legacies continue to inspire generations and offer timeless lessons in various qualities like resilience, courage, and visionary leadership. The engaging narrative includes interactive activities and quizzes for both children and parents. Read the interesting book to embark on a journey through time and uncover the stories of these incredible rulers from different parts of India. The book is a cool way to introduce or talk about the mega cool leaders to younger readers. Narrated in an engaging manner, which includes dialogues in the case of some leaders and their trusted companions, like Krishnadevaraya and Tenali Rama, or Ahilya Bai Holkar and Tukoji Rao. The book proved to be quite interesting and engrossing for me and my 11-year-old son. While some of the leaders, like Shivaji and Krishnadevaraya, may be well known, memories of others have been forgotten or confined to the regions that they ruled. It is heartwarming to see them getting their due recognition. The immersive activities are quite creative and fun. The book tries to make the readers experience and think about what it takes to be a ruler like the ones they are reading about. Sources used to write these stories have been mentioned at the end of each of them, along with books that can be read to know more. These leaders definitely changed the course of history and left behind an everlasting legacy. Some of their iconic monuments last to this day and showcase their glory. Overall, a perfect book for everyone eager to explore more of Indian history. Recommended age? The book is apt for anyone aged 10 and above.
Let us explore stories that shaped our past. Here are some recommendations from me. 1. Mega Cool Leaders, Five Rulers Who Rocked India by Dr. Pradeep Chakravarti. Discover the leadership, courage, and vision of five extraordinary Indian rulers: Ahilya Bai Holkar, Krishnadevaraya, Lachit Borphukan, Chhatrapati Shivaji Maharaj, and Lalitaditya Muktapeda. 2. Fascinating Maharajas of India by Shrilata Menon, discover 25 remarkable rulers from princely states across India who contributed to education, architecture, and cultural heritage.
The book offers a glimpse into legacies of India's royal past and royals who shaped it.
3. The Greatest Books of Ancient India by Dr. Pradeep Chakravarti. Discover 14 ancient Indian books that transformed science, mathematics, medicine, architecture, and the arts. 4. The Blue Horse and Other Amazing Animals from Indian History by Nandini Sen Gupta. Discover the stories of incredible animals that left an unforgettable mark on India's history and legends. The book offers a journey to the past seen through the eyes of its extraordinary witnesses. And with that, we come to the end of this inspiring journey. I hope these stories have brought the past a little closer to you and inspired you to discover many more. Until we meet again, keep reading and keep exploring.
Here is a special mention to our contributors: Arya Prasid, Vamika Chaurasia, Himani Sejwal, Hema Dhulipuri, Mokshada Gupta, Pallav Bairagya, Saujendra Kumar Patra, and Suhani Mugdal. We are grateful to Shri Bhavesh Agarwal, Shrimati Rajlakshmi Agarwal, Shri Devesh Verma, and the Ola Foundation, whose generous support allows us to shape several key initiatives. Follow us on our social media handles on Instagram, X, and YouTube. Our official website is www.fihcr.com. You can also write to me for more such interesting stories at yuva@fihcr.com.